I am in the process of I've just written an email that I'm going to send to maybe, if I'm lucky, 200-ish people.
Wow.
Which is quite a privilege to be in, because it's essentially, hey, can you help? Because I might have to get a job.
Yeah.
And maybe if you can help me, I might not have to get a job. Hey, can you help? So yeah. I'm sending a kind of vulnerable, like, so much of my, like, integrity, sure, in my communication, sure. And you know, when I make a mistake, I cop to it.
Yeah.
But it's very rare that I'll be like, hey, shit's really bad and I'm not doing so good. At job.
Sure.
And so well, could you help?
Money, right?
Because need money for money survive. Inflow.
Yeah.
So because need money for survive can help. So rather than like pitching it as, you know, here's this great new venture or it's exciting, it's like, no. Like, I want to do this thing, but if I can't do this thing, or even like if I don't get some help while I'm doing this thing, then meh. I've written said email, I'm now in the process of collating as many email addresses that I can legitimately contact that won't.
Sure.
I mean, a bunch of them are going to be like, mate, I just signed up for your newsletter. I don't know what the fuck you're on about. Uh-huh. But then, you know, hopefully some of them, maybe I'll know a thing or two about a thing or two and can send someone my way. We shall
see. Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're pretty good at collecting the emails.
Well, yeah, because I think the thing about the last few years of having tried lots of things and a lot of them being like shit that I wish I'd done or knew how to do in the Podium days.
Yeah.
Because like if I knew what I had to then learn post-Podium, if I'd have learned those things, you know, while I was still running it, fucking hell, who knows like where things would have been, because with all the education stuff that I was sort of, you know, and doing the like the monthly sessions that I was running, like when I was doing that with Podcode, like I was doing these, I think they were monthly, did I go fortnightly at one point, of doing these like webinar type things, and quite a few people, like, you know, I got new people each time. And because I'm ravenous for them email addresses, like any time I have the opportunity, like I'm gobbling them up, mate. Like hungry hippos. Because you never know when you might need them.
You just said something that reminded me of something I was thinking of like a couple days ago. Like you were saying, more or less, I wish I knew then what I know now.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny that we never say, I wish I knew now what I'm going to know in 20 years.
What?
It's like I wish I knew now what I'm going to know in 20 years is the same thing as I wish I knew then what I know now, but the perspective is reversed. Instead of trying to go back in time, I'm like trying to get the knowledge from forward in time. It's like 20 years ago me wanting to know what I know now.
But, sure.
But I thought that would be more clear, I guess.
No, because I feel like there is a piece that's backwards in that, because I think about like I wonder, like rather than wish, because it's, you can't regret something that hasn't happened yet, so it's like I wonder what I don't know that I will know in 20 years, like that's
I don't think of wishing as a regret.
No, it's the opposite in time wise. In a time system, regret is something has happened in the past and you wish it hadn't happened.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Do we agree?
So I think.
And then, so if we throw that forwards, it's like It's, you know, we take the object and then we flip it that way.
Yeah.
It's like, I wish that this, I hope that this thing happens, as opposed to I wish this thing hadn't happened.
Yeah. But I'm not dealing in regrets right now. That's what's confusing for me.
As well, you shouldn't. So.
Yeah. In that same regard, like, I feel like there's no reason for regrets because you did the best you could at that time. Even if you think it wasn't the best you could do, it actually was the best you could do because that's what you did. So, you know, ipso facto.
Thinking back to a
pushing buttons.
Thinking back to a recent example of something I. There's regret, and then there is I wish this had gone better.
And I feel like that's different.
Yeah,
I don't feel like wish is the opposite of regret. Is that what you said?
It is. I mean, whether it's true,
it just is.
It is what I said.
It is what you said.
It is what I said. I don't mean it is.
Whether it is,
I wasn't being definitive.
Title: it is whether or not it's true.
Oh no, it's going to be one of those episodes again.
Oopsies. I was off caffeine for a week and now I'm having a decaf and it's all over again.
Oh, good luck, my boy. Mm-hmm. My sweet boy.
Mm-hmm. I'm hyped up. I got some rest and now I'm back in action. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm in high protein mode at the moment. I need to get more fats in me.
Yeah.
But I'm all up in the pro at the moment.
Nice.
Yeah.
That feels good.
I've got batteries ordered for my scales. So I can sort of take stock of the situation and see, okay.
Sure.
Let's start monitoring. Let's start seeing the numbers go down.
Sure. Is that Can we talk about that?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
We don't have to.
We can. That's why I asked. Go on.
Is there anything that good that comes from a scale? I mean, that's the end of the question, I guess.
There was a question mark there and everything. You did what so many people don't do, and they're like, they keep talking after the question mark. There was a question mark there, and you stopped. Is this all just going to be meta conversation about the conversation today?
We never actually get to anything. No. We just keep interrupting ourselves. Tangent on tangent.
I totally take your point that you know, if you're putting too much stock in something, in tracking something, for me, it is a useful. It's useful as a way of being able to see, are things roughly going in the right direction? Later on, I will feel that, you know, in my jeans.
That's what I was thinking about.
You know, mm-hmm. And that will absolutely, you know, become tangible. But also, in this sort of tracking thing, like it's mm-hmm. really nice to see number go down. Good to see number go down a lot. And you know, over time. So, you know, I think we talked about this last week, if not several times before, about looking back down the hill, you know, once you're up the hill. Mm-hmm. I've been big on action the last few days.
Awesome.
I am action Mark at the moment and I'm feeling good about it in this sort of like it's really guiding some of my decisions because last week we talked about this conversation that I had with my guy mm-hmm. about identity being made up of our actions, and a friend of the show, Anya, sort of chipped in with that maybe character more than identity. But either works. I mean, character is mm-hmm. absolutely like it's what you do. It's not who you say you are. That's really putting a lot of things into focus for me in a lot of ways, because one of the thoughts that's in my head at the minute is I'm finding myself thinking less about myself, thinking less about the idea of Mark and what Mark, how Mark should react in certain circumstances. So like, if I'm grumpy, I'm not then finding myself trying to like change that into, no, the version of Mark that you project, or the version of Mark that you want to be, or the best version of Mark, he doesn't care about these things, or he has infinite empathy, or he has empathy for the mm-hmm. the person mm-hmm. on the bus who's playing their music at full volume because, you know, maybe they need this. That's actually, and just go, no, right now, that's irritating the shit out of me.
Yeah.
and owning that, mm-hmm. and not mm-hmm. trying to be like, I guess it is sort of being authentic.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is, you know,
why does that make you throw up?
It's just, it's an overused word. It's one of those words that people,
sure,
like,
yeah. It's like, oh, okay, why do you let them ruin it? You're letting
good,
them have
good,
the power.
That's a good,
the word
that's a
means
good
the word, you know.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to sound like you're one of them.
No, it's because you're American and you can talk like that.
We I can't. Like being American. Yeah. No. Yeah. Wow. And did you hear what I just said? Holy shit.
Holy shit. Well. So, wow. Oh, that's going in as a title because that's going to be incredible.
Shit. Oh no. I actually kind of even fumbled the word too. I was like, Miller.
My baby.
Oh man. Only because I feel such sense of freedom that feels that feels natural and.
Yeah, you can do earnest
authentic.
The way we can. And authentic. Yeah, absolutely. I went knocking doors on Saturday morning on behalf of the Green Party.
Nice. How did that go?
It was cool.
Yeah.
It was a bit little bit draining at the end, and I did I think it was a couple of hours, maybe an hour and a half with one of the councillors. So the way it ended up being is that there are two councillors looking after this particular area, if you like, a borough, sure, if you like. It's not really a borough, but it's an area in my city, and they're looking to be councillors in the next. They're looking to sort of win or have a seat in the next local elections to be councillors. Elected, I guess, is the word. Anyway, I know nothing about anything. Mm-hmm. So they're sort of ramping up their efforts now in preparation for next May. And part of that is sort of going around and talking to people and saying, like, well, there's a script and there's a whole thing. So I did that with one of the councillors. And it's all right. Yeah, like, I think I was a bit nervous at the beginning because, like, I've not done something like this before, and it still feels a little, I don't know, it feels a little like I'm on a school project.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever had to do anything like I remember doing stuff like standing in the center of town with a microphone and trying to interview people about something dumb, or like,
never did that.
No, or like knocking on doors and asking if you can wash someone's car or something like that. Mm-hmm, you know, for like mm-hmm. a scouts thing.
Yeah, that I've done. I've had like little brochures of this is the American version. And little brochures of things that they could buy.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I would order them for them and come and deliver it. It was so silly.
Yeah, your scouts thing, like, it's such a system, like a hit, like it's such a brand in, again, in a very American way, but in a way that it just isn't over here. Considering it's mm-hmm. I think it's a British thing that got, you know, yeah, ported over, but like y'all have like really like the whole Girl Scout cookies thing. I mean,
I know,
is that even actually affiliated with the Girl Scouts, or is it just like a brand at this point?
I mean,
do you know
both.
What I mean?
It's it's both, yeah,
because it's
sure.
so huge. Mm-hmm. And over, like, we have nothing like that. We have the girls. Well, I assume, I don't actually know if they even exist anymore. I mean, I assume they must do here in the UK. I know they're sure, but like community things don't really exist anymore here.
Yeah. And people are going to come for me for this, but like, Girl Scout cookies aren't that great.
Yeah,
they're just fine.
Okay.
But yeah. people get like, oh, yeah, the Thin yeah, Mints. Yeah. Oh, they're, yeah, yeah. Oh my God.
No, and snickerdoodles or yeah, whatever.
They're just fine. They're packaged processed cookies. They're not good. Holy shit, though. There's a food cart near me that just sells cookies. They have like eight types of cookies. They're all like $9 a piece. And
oh, shit.
Wow, are they good?
Yeah.
It's like a cookie sized, and then they put the same amount of cookie dough just plopped on top of it. So it's kind of got this like hat kind of structure. And and then they do something to like, I don't know if they air fry it or some fancy type of quick baking. Mm-hmm. But then they give it to you and it's like the outside is perfectly like that sugary crunch of a cookie on the outside, and on the and then almost all of the inside is just
warm
cookie dough, and it's just like melts and it crunches and melts and gooey and
get out of town.
It's insane.
Yeah,
it's really good. So I'm really thankful they're so expensive because I can't buy them all the time. The cost is actually a benefit in this.
Yes.
In this scenario.
Yes, in this economy. Why do we say? Oh yeah, Americans.
Green Party. Yeah.
You're brilliant. And authentic and that's great.
What? Is your head buried as in the sand as mine? Because I think from what I hear,
we did all that last week.
Things are bad. Yeah,
things are bad.
Oh yeah. Do we want to keep talking about that?
Or no. Okay. No. I keep meeting more people who I do my spiel about those, and they're like, "Yep, you're right. Yep, you're right." Well, at this point, then, if I'm so right, the fuck is anyone doing about it? I guess I'm trying to do something about it.
Oh, that's a very nine thing to say. Oh my gosh. I know what's wrong.
Yeah.
Why isn't somebody else doing it?
I didn't mean else.
Okay.
I mean other. Like, why aren't people like other people also? I don't mean someone else because I'm out here. Like, you know, trying to do a thing.
You literally are. Yeah.
I am at this point. Yeah. Yeah.
I inserted the else, I guess. Yeah.
What does it feel like? What does it still feel like? This is kind of unique. I guess part of the other thing is you're not going to hear that on social media as much because you're in the bubble.
The bubble.
And so it's, y'all are about to have a scarier time when it comes to social media as well because, I live in TikTok. And I'm fine with it. It's fine. I've got a good relationship with it. I'm Action Mark now. I take action. I do things. But did you know that the American, like, there's going to be American TikTok now?
Oh, okay. They're bringing it back.
You're taking back control. And the algorithm is going to be hosted in America and maintained and tweakable. In and by Americans, in and by America, which is no bueno. Like, surely that is not going to end well for democracy.
Yeah.
Because yes, you there.
I don't know. I don't have anything. It's all just like, I can't predict. It just seems like, social media in general has been a negative for humanity, and I know there are like things benefits.
That's why I'm not saying anything. Like, I'm making a face, but I'm like,
this is all internal. It's not even about your reaction. I'm just thinking, like, I get it. Yeah. There's been connections made. Like, I never would have met you if it weren't for Reddit, you know?
Yeah.
But
even that wasn't Reddit. Even that was, you were using Reddit.
Yeah.
And you might have, I guess you might have found the post because of Reddit.
Yeah, I found the post because of it. We didn't converse on there. Yeah, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I know, man. Like, I want to feel like it is because it has brought me good things.
Yeah.
But and then what ends up happening is I do the same sort of thing that I think the fucking NRA do when they talk about guns, actually, is there's what's better than a good bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, and guns don't keep people.
That's a great analogy. Fucking
helps, as Eddie Izzard said, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just going up to someone and going, bang.
Do you have a flag?
Do you have a flag?
This one is wet. This one.
Yes. So like, social media is a loaded gun, and I'm out here going, well, you know, as long as the right people are wielding it, it's like.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just at a shooting range, so yeah. It's fine. Yeah,
I'm a responsible gun. I mean, social media owner.
Yeah,
I keep my social media locked in a safe.
Yeah,
with a combination. Yeah. I just want to know that I've got it by my side. If I don't know, man. Like, yeah. But no, there is something to that.
There is, yeah. But also at the same time, it's here. We're not going to get rid of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't our decision. Yeah. And it's kind of like. All right, yeah.
And I'm going to use it to my ends until it collapses, and until we go back to a system where we are all in local communities and we just communicate via text message or WhatsApp. That'd be fine. I'm down with that. Because actually, that's where I'm in touch with people like every day.
I mean,
I'm so grateful for that.
We can kind of just make that for our communities or for ourselves, I guess. Not even our communities, but we can... Yeah. But yeah, no, I've seen enough examples of TikTok to understand why it's hard to give up. It's ripe with interesting people creating and sharing interesting things.
Yeah. Yeah. And being like fascinating and then something funny it doesn't show me random things that I find upsetting anymore. Which is good. And I think like TikTok is not it's gonna get a lot more problematic, I think.
So explain that. did I shake you from your slumber? Did I interrupt a thought? Or
no.
Okay.
Not at least not a valuable one.
You seem to imply a bit of doom for the moves that are making. I'm curious what it seems obvious to you, but it's not obvious to me. Like it just doesn't.
American control of moving, the TikTok algorithm.
Yeah, we're moving the servers and where the algorithm stays and whatever. Yes. It's not supposed to be connected to the people that made it, but okay.
Yes, which is fine, but it means that Oracle, who are a massive company, who are one of the key investors, are get-at-able if Trump wants to say you should not have these kinds of messages anymore.
Okay. So Trump can censor American TikTok.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
That's real bad. Like,
sure.
That's fundamentally very, very bad.
It is against the First Amendment. It is.
On that level. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, an inalienable human right as defined by the UN.
Yeah. Oh, is that true? That sounds good.
Let me actually. I will double check that. I think we have a right to free speech. Yeah, I think the UN. Let me double check that one.
Yeah, I like that. It's like it feels at the same time. It's like, well, it's also like this.
Yeah, this freedom of expression, currently known as free speech. It was enacted in its Universal Declaration of Human Rights in 1948, specifically Article 19.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of Article 19 before.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks, Ewan.
So there's that. One or two people have mentioned this, but, you know, we are in such a world now of agendas. And you know, as we talked about last week, you know, more and more and more of a move to the right. And if a platform that people, you know, younger people who are maybe a little bit less media savvy in a way that, like, well, they shouldn't have to be as media savvy as this at this age. If they start to see differing messages and are not alerted to the fact that those messages are being handpicked for them based not on simply what they engage with.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, I'm not...
I don't think most people are thinking about how the algorithm or whatever is behind that's showing them the video. I wonder if most people aren't really thinking so much about the mechanics of how it's coming to them.
I think there's a little sense of, like, how does it... For a lot of people, it's like, how does it keep... Like, or why do I keep seeing these types of videos? Or why does it always keep seem to show me stuff that I like or whatever? I think people will sort of recognize that after a while of, like, I watched a puppy dog video and now it's just, is that all? Because it's like, that's what people used to think TikTok was just kids dancing. And so if that's the videos that people watch, that's what they got. You know?
Yeah, I just, like, the reason why I'm not currently feeling like that is super no bueno, the whole moving servers Trump could restrict speech, like, yeah, of course, obviously very bad, but isn't he kind of setting his own trap? Because then the UN could come after him. Like, it almost sounds like a good thing.
Oh no, not a chance. Not a chance is the UN, like, because the UN isn't a thing. It's a bunch of member states.
Maybe we could just turn him into a felon again, and then the people will actually realize how bad of a person he is.
Yeah, because that's worked so many times.
Yeah, yes.
Well, with all the crimes that he committed. System.
Yeah, okay, well, all right.
No, all right.
How do we get back to...
Next.
It just keeps coming.
Yeah. I had a conversation with my friend and patron saint of the show, Anya Pierce, who it was a very valuable conversation in which I realized, and this is part of where Action Mark has come from. Mm. So we talked about my no good, very bad weekend previously. Mm-hmm. But what we didn't talk about is the responsibility that I bear for that. Okay. It was kind of on me.
Okay.
It's kind of on me. I done fucked up. And I have to apologize. Well, I guess no one has to do anything. I choose to apologize if I want to retain a good sense of well-being with the people that I've wronged, then I have to go and apologize. And so Saturday night was an interesting evening. Saturday was an interesting evening because Annie was like, she had the whole sort of story laid out and she was like, I don't know, bro. Like, I think this one might be on you, kind of. And like, not entirely, because I know she's one of those people who, you know, we have our friends and they perform different roles in our lives, and some of them are those who will give you a hug and tell you it's going to be okay, or, you know, I can go and speak to my guy to a degree. Like, even he, like, I realized, was like, he doesn't want me to feel shame, but also he knows if I'm going, like, to the bad side.
Sure.
And he, like, and I hadn't quite fully engaged with it last week, but, like, I've played back a couple of exchanges, and I'm like, oh, no, he saw me, like, about to jump off, about to put the Darth Vader helmet on and play and actually become the baddie after thinking I was the victim. And he was, you know, he was trying to, like, keep me from doing that, and I hadn't really quite realized yet. I had a bit of a moment with that, so I'll be attempting to deliver an apology, a well-deserved apology this week, and then it's in the lap of the gods.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what a person does.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not expected to be perfect all the time.
No. No. And I think I've spent in a very nine way, like quite a lot of time, and still spend quite a lot of time, hence I think the apology I've got to make on Friday, avoiding conflict.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like avoiding until it becomes fucking, because like you can find things that might turn into conflicts, like a difference of taste or a difference of opinion or a difference of something else, like differing needs that can be addressed at the beginning, and if it's not addressed it can then become a conflict. And like, yeah, you know, needing to call that out quicker. God, being a grown up is hard. But yeah, I think yes, to cap that thought off, to say like, yeah, I've spent so much time avoiding conflict and telling myself that it's somehow about my identity as like a really good, wholesome dude, and it's like,
yeah, you are. You're gonna make the apology. It's not being a good, wholesome dude isn't about never making a mistake, but it's about owning it afterwards, and you're doing that right now.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
I think so.
Yeah. You know, a story about yourself maintained.
Yeah. Well, new story forming.
New story forming.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, bro.
Which feels more realistic. Like I said, instead of walking around going, this doesn't feel congruent with the version of Mark that that people expect or that has been created in your head and is in the head of a few other people, of like, this guy is so lovely. And it's like, but occasionally he gets pissed off. And then he acts a bit pissed off, and then and then other people have to go, ooh, Mark seemed a bit pissed off. And then,
well, no, what? No, I have never expected that you do not get pissed off. Like, I have always expected that you are human, and you have a full range of emotions and actions. And
I think you possibly see more of those than than other people. But then, like, we have different roles, if I think about the singing group, like, you know, my role is not to get, like, one of the things that I'm, you know, have become aware of fairly quickly is like, I like conversations about other people. I don't mind getting into people's business, and I could if unfettered be something of a gossip, because I just love like the whole not that I want to spread it necessarily, but like, there, you know, sometimes there's like inner circle stuff, and you know,
yeah.
And then sort of one of the things you realize about like what we might call, for want of an American word that a British person can't say. no, that's not true. That's not true.
It's, wait, what
Mark,
is that?
A Mark can't say. Like the idea of leadership, which just for me is just like, it's not an American word. It's not an Americanism. It's just makes me a little bit balk.
I'm just thinking, cunt is, no, that's the other way. What are we talking about here?
Leadership.
Do we need to censor that? I don't know. I wasn't talking about anybody. It was just referencing the word. That's all.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't offend any sensibilities.
How many asterisks do we need for
that? My apologies for using that.
Only some people can use that word. All right,
and
there we go.
Not me.
No. But like, you know, I have a role as a leader. I do. And I've got to fucking suck that up. And part of that role is like, don't be talking shit about other members of the group. Like, you might have a grievance. You might have a thing that's annoyed. Like, I wish this person wouldn't do this. But like, don't be talking shit about other people in the group. Because, I mean, there's a non-leadership aspect to that, which is, like, and I think there, I can't remember if you'll correct me, I'm sure, if there is a sort of a Buddhist tenet about this that's like, well, don't talk shit about, just don't talk behind people's back.
Yeah.
There's some
teaching modality that has that kind of thing. Yeah. For sure. That's
So, you know, just as a you know, one-to-one, because, you know, you mm-hmm. wouldn't want someone to speak ill of you or you know, share your things and yeah. yada yada. And then, like, that's doubly so of, like, from a leadership perspective, your job is to is not to have the grievances, but is to deal with the grievances, because shit rolls downhill. It shouldn't be flung yeah. laterally
yeah.
From up top. So yeah. Anyway, you talk for a bit.
I want to ask you about what you think you did wrong, but
sure.
I made
a situation about me when it could have been about me. That's fine, and I was a part of it.
You were a part of it,
but it didn't. Timing has never been my strong suit, Brendan.
Okay.
And it was largely an issue of timing and thoughtlessness, and that is what I understand to be the thing for which I need to apologize.
Okay. That, you know what? Yeah, that's on you. No, I'm just
yeah.
no, okay. That makes sense. And honestly, yeah, like that also feels like a very human mistake. Like that feels very. Easy to do, you know. You're in your world constantly, like actually yeah. you can never escape it, and
fuck.
Well, you'll escape it eventually. we all get to escape it once. Yeah. I don't know. I've got lots of compassion for you, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I don't think you're on the wrong path. I think you're on the right path.
I think I briefly strayed into a territory that I'm not going to look over there, because I don't like. Ooh, that's a very overgrown, not overgrown, but like the trees are very tall and there's not a lot of sunlight going in. So I'm not going to uh-huh. worry too much. I didn't go too far down that path.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to dip, come back out again and carry on the untrodden path of like figuring out, well, what's yeah. next?
What is next?
Yeah.
Asking people for money.
Yeah. Well, or help, or well, not fucking advice. I don't even. It's one of the things I actually say in my email is like, I've had a lot of advice over the last 4 years.
Yeah, you have. It
all of it was well meaning, but
it really
not
is.
A lot of it has worked.
No.
What was that now?
I was making the story about me and joking along with little quips that yeah. yeah, you told me to talk. I don't know. I don't have good things are happening.
Yeah, they are, man.
That aren't really broadcast.
Yes.
Yeah. My mom's doing well. She moved into a new facility.
Hey.
And this is probably going to be her final permanent place now. And she's really happy, because even though it's a lot smaller and there's different small downsides and stuff, there are some major upsides. And it's all about the staff at this new place. They are incredibly friendly, attentive. They listen. They're coming often. They come in pairs. It's a facility where there are a lot of bariatric patients and people that need multiple people for support to move or do things, and so they come in pairs, as like already prepared for that kind of situation, which is really great. Like at the previous facility she was at, there somebody would come, a nurse would come, or an assistant or whatever, and she'd be like, yeah, I need to move from my bed to my chair, and they're like, okay, I gotta go get somebody else to help. And then they'd be gone for 20 minutes or more, you know, like, and my mom needs to go to the shower or change or, you know, whatever. And it's just like, she has to have to sit there and like hitting the button again, waiting for somebody to come, and they don't. And, but here it's like, yeah, she's getting, yeah, really good attention. There are some people also at the facility that are not having a great time. There's somebody who is kind of constantly yelling for help. I think that they're very they're just in a really bad place and it really sucks. But you know, my mom can put on headphones and it's not like she can help, you know. But other than that, like, we got my sister came up to visit, and the two of us put together her room with all of her furniture and hung the TV and all that kind of stuff, and my mom's really happy, and so that's really good. I don't know. I think that she's gonna still be able to get some physical therapy. Yeah. Anyway, well, that came up for me for this week because we just moved her in on Saturday. Oh man, Friday, dude. Actually, Friday and Saturday. I gotta tell you about this. This is actually pretty cool. Friday night.
Should I start recording now then?
Oh yeah, hit the button.
Yeah.
Friday night, Margaret and I went to church and went to I think it was billed as like a worship night. And it's funny, the word worship is funny to me. I thought it was a battle sea vessel. No, I'm just kidding. I thought it was just like saying your thanks to God kind of thing, or praising God or whatever. And it is, but it's, I mean, I guess that's all it is, but it's way more about music than I thought. It's way more about like dancing and vocalizing and expressing. And, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of cool. Anyways, not what this evening was about. There was the band was up and they were going for the full hour and a half with different little pockets and breaks in between, and the pastor was giving us some instruction. It was a bit more of an involved kind of. It wasn't just like a normal every week Sunday sermon. There were calls to action within that night to confess. And he gave a few different ways of confessing. You could come up and write a little note, and that goes into a prayer wall. You could tell a neighbor next to you. It was encouragement to talk with the people around you. You can just do it silently to yourself. You can come and kneel in front of the altar, and like, it was a bunch of different things. It was cool. And then there was a moment of repentance. And now, repentance, another word that I kind of always thought of differently. I thought that was like. I always received that word in the form of like finger waving, like, you better repent or you're bad. Like, and it was like, it felt like some sort of flogging or some sort of like, you have to do this arduous thing, this difficult thing of repentance. You have to suffer through repentance, because you did bad. That's how I always received that message. And it's way more about like, it just means turning back to God. It just means like what you were just describing of took a venture into the dark woods and then went back to the your good path of trying to be a good person in this good life. And that, like, that's all it is. And it's kind of beautiful. It's a beautiful word and meaning. And so I explored that a bit. And then, and there's one final bit at the end, and I can't remember now, but it was all just really beautiful. And I let myself follow what they were asking and engage with it as best I could. It's still all kind of, it's new, but I like it. I like this people. I like this church. Church, another word that's been redefined for me lately. Church, I always think of as the building, when it's actually the people. The people are the church. The community is the church. It's like, oh, that's really beautiful. And yeah, I don't know. So a lot of things are being redefined for me. I like the imago is a Christian church. It is not like the American Christian church or. I think what it definitely wasn't what the idea I had of of that kind of community or situation at all. Anyways, I'm liking it a lot. So I left that prayer night having confessed, having repented, and then the next day, I had a good night, and then the next day, there were a few times where I felt like I was in the exact right place at the exact right time, and not just coincidentally. It felt like I was receiving ideas or messages or prompts in my head. An idea came to my mind without me thinking, like, what should I do next? It was just like, I should go to this taco place. It felt inserted almost. And what it felt like is the mycelium network of how we are all interconnected, sent its signal to me that this is where you need to go. And so at one point I was just at an intersection, and a guy was not begging at the moment, but had a sign that says homeless and hungry. And so obviously he had been, or was going to. And I just, like, you know, rolled, as he's walking by, not asking for anything, I gave him a nice bar and some money, and that felt good. And it was like, that was a little baby step. And then later on, as I'm helping my mom and my sister, I realize it's getting a bit late, and I'm getting hungry. I'm sure they are too. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to go get us some food. And there are a lot of burrito places around, Mexican places around us. But I think, actually, there's a really good one just a few miles farther. I'm going to go to that one because my sister's visiting. My mom, I don't know how many meals she has left. Like, why have a bad meal? So I'm going to go out of my way and get this burrito. And because I went out of my way, I interacted with a guy who was obviously slightly disabled, very much demonstrating the talking to yourself in a creepy way thing that we associate with homeless people. It's like they just start rambling on stuff. They're mumbling. You can't understand it. But he was obviously also a really nice guy. His name was David. He was in a scooter that wasn't working very well. He'd just gotten off the bus at this intersection. And he kind of flags me down a little bit. And I pull over and we get a scooter in the back of my truck, and I take him down 15 blocks so that he could get there at a reasonable speed without trying to like walk his scooter and stuff. And it just felt like I was supposed to be right there with an empty truck bed. And I had picked up stuff earlier, and a thought occurred to me that no, I'm on my way to go to my mom's new place. I have to stop at home to empty my truck just in case I need to put something else in my truck because my truck was full. Like the whole back was full. I wouldn't have had room for him. And it was just like thing after thing that day that all the puzzle pieces like perfectly aligned. And, it was just like, yeah, you pick up a piece and you're like, oh, it goes right there. Okay, I'll just grab another piece. Oh, it goes right there. All right. And it was just like a whole day of that. It felt so cool. And yeah, and then I had a really good night. another really good night. And so, yeah, it felt like, you know, everything is everything. You know, it's just a modality. It's just a way. I don't think that there's a monopoly on this or anything. I just like, I'm really digging this connection.
I think I know the answer, but to what are you feeling connected?
The everything is everything mycelium network God. Like mm-hmm. whatever. I don't know. I tried to articulate. A few episodes ago, like I don't know anymore. I know I don't know, and like I'm just kind of just here for it. Like let's just go and try it, or let's walk that path with wonderment, and and curiosity, you know, openness.
I'm getting a vibe of in sort of God mode like parlance here.
Mm-hmm.
What if we played life more like level one of a video game, mm-hmm. where you're just a little guy,
yeah,
and you're jumping on things and you're figuring out, like, you know, because you look at, yeah, like, yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog or Mario, like they don't have tutorials,
right?
So you just go they through just and you figure in. It out, and you go, is this an enemy, or if I bash it, does it give me coins? What happens if, yeah, you know?
I was like, oh, I hop on this one and it dies. Great. And then I hop on the guy with the shell and the spike and I die. Oh, okay. So yeah. I got to run into that one instead of jump on him. Or what? Yeah.
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 And I think you approach a video game kind of with curiosity and action.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, I've got to move right, because that's how platform games work. You've got to move right. Mm-hmm. That's all I really know is move right, and then I'll figure the rest out. And so, you know, mm-hmm. you've got to do some things, but also you're looking around and you're figuring things out. And I think I almost feel like we came to the start of this podcast thinking we knew a lot more than we do now. Because both of us have had our time of, like, we're going to be fucking gurus, man. Yeah. And I know neither of us wanted to actually, you know, use that word, and we probably talked about it, but, like, we were being like the game guides through various things. And I think what's really interesting is how both of us have gone back and we're like, no, we're playing the game. There are moments where, like, or aspects where we are doing something different, or maybe we're leading, but it's not from this, this taking ourselves too seriously, assuming that we've got, I mean, like, no, we know, I know we never said, like, we have all the answers, but, like, when you put yourself in that kind of guide position, you are suggesting, you know, a certain amount of something, and we both fought with that. But I really like this moment, or this sort of thinking of, like, let's just receive. Let's put our set our radio sets to receive and
it's second half of life thinking that we're entering into. I definitely, like, I still feel like for 20 and 30 year olds I have some good advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
if you put your phone up to your ear, you can hear the phone call better, and everybody else doesn't have to hear the phone call, like that kind of advice.
Sure. I am way less irritated by just a stranger than you are. You were talking about that compassion for the person with the loudspeaker or whatever, and I was like, yeah,
you know, yeah. You don't travel in public transport, my dude. Not that much.
Not that much.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But then I also like it. Do you not put, like, noise isolating headphones in and have
these
your own
things
little
don't
world?
Do like I'm holding up my AirPods. I forgot how little they do.
It's the best noise cancellation in the world. Haven't you heard?
I know.
And it just got two times better.
I've heard.
Yeah.
But, you know, I smashed my headphones up. So, you know, who am I to complain?
Ah, they were the
protected me from the outside world.
I got custom molded plugs for my in-ear monitors.
Oh, nice.
And they are, it's really great. There's no noise cancellation, and it's just isolation. It's great.
I think the proper, I've had some decent in-ear ones before where they're like, you properly feel them go all the way in, and you're just like, thunk, You know, and it's just like, and the AirPods have never been like that because they just don't make them like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely love that sensation of like, whoa. Like I am sealed. I'm completely sealed.
Yeah. Can we talk about
what I will say very briefly, if I may?
Yeah. You may.
I'm finding like I had a period there, and maybe this has been a bit of a bloodletting or something, but honestly, maybe it has. Some anger that I was being, you know, I was finding myself troubled by, and like it not coming out or it whatever, and then it coming out in ways that I found upsetting and scary for me, and I don't feel that now, and that's nice. Like right
that
now,
is nice.
And for the last few days, like, I don't feel that like impending sense of like, you know, something.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that counts for something.
So you mentioned anger and then impending sense of something. Were those feelings kind of tied together?
Yeah, like being sort of scared of my own how is this, how like what's
how
next?
Am I gonna react?
Like, yeah.
Oh, well, that's great.
So yeah,
that you're not feeling that.
yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any like? Is there something you feel like pushed the release valve button, or is there?
I wonder if it's just because there hasn't been a moment. It was just as we've been talking, I sort of realized it. And I really wonder, you know, like, okay, I don't want to put too much on one particular thing that was said, but I really think this action idea, or this action sort of concept, there's something that's really hitting home because, and it felt like one of those little coins down the pachinko machine, like it just dropped another place when I was just out getting, picking up my prescription and getting a couple of things, which, like, again, I probably would have put off till later, or I would have not bothered or something. But because I'm like, there's just something in me now that's like, you have to act. You have to do the things. And I know that sounds stupid, but there's like, and I woke up with this in my head of like, you can't expect or hope that the world is going to mold itself around you or change, or that the environment is going to change, or that things are just going to happen, or there'll be another time for it or whatever. It's like, I think I'm finally getting that sense of, and this is what got me out on Saturday when Friday night I wasn't really feeling it. It was very easy. It would have been very easy for me to have just not gone, to go and do the door knocking thing. Like, there would have been no consequences.
Sure.
No, you know, like anyone who might have been annoyed, I've never met them before.
Sure.
They'll be, you know, it's volunteering, so they'll be grateful for another, whatever.
Yeah.
But, and you know, I'd put myself down for two sessions, a morning and an evening, morning and afternoon. I only did the one because I was looking at my energy levels and I thought, I think I have done what I can
yourself.
Do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But having that sense of, the character or the identity, the thing you want to change, only changes for you if you do the things.
Yeah.
Having the best intentions ain't gonna do shit.
Yeah.
And so with that is also shedding this idea of, as I said earlier, like, who is Mark Steadman? Like, I don't know. And that was a problem before. And now I'm like, I'm not trying to keep this like patina or like this this membrane around me that's supposed to be whatever the world or Mark thinks a Mark is. Mm-hmm. It will emerge and is emerging based on the things he does.
Yeah.
And also, hopefully, based on the things he does and not on other people's ideas of me.
Yeah.
Because that's been a fucking killer for me, is people telling me I am various things. Like, people telling me I'm wonderful and lovely and cuddly and supportive and empathetic and all these different things, which those are parts of me.
Yeah.
But they're not the full me.
Of course.
And so when those parts don't show up, I then think, you know, is that, oh no, this is wounding to my, you know, my, oh no, my, my membrane, my patina. Like, it's becoming, it's shattered, it's an illusion. It's like, no, it never fucking was there, because it's, it's, and also, as a thought is just arriving in my head, like, it's not, we, each of us, I'm thinking now, like, I don't know. I was going to go down a metaphor, but I think I would have actually made it more complicated. We all have our own ideas of ourselves and each other, and they're all based on the things that we know and the things that we've witnessed. There is no one immutable truth about each of us.
Sure. Each of us do not possess a truth that is...
Like, if we think about... Yeah, and like I'm exploring this, so let's see like if it actually works. But like, if we think about an idea of, and this, you know, this might go against the, like, the whole thing of the Enneagram, actually. But then, to a degree, the Enneagram is, it's about what is observed, but it's also about what we think about ourselves. So if we think about personalities,
I don't know if that's true. What we think about ourselves? I'm not really sure.
Well, because you have to, it has to be partly what you think about yourself, because of you have to answer questions in order to be, you know, to get a number.
Yeah. So that has to be based on. I see.
Not cognitively, but it's based on, you know, you're given hypothetical situations or questions about certain things, and you have to answer them to what you think is true about yourself.
I mean, yeah, if you take a test, which the tests are not recommended, like, ideally you learn what each of the nine... That's not universal.
There are some one or two tests that are recommended, but there is also a school of thought that says, yes, you should be typed based on a discussion with a person, but both of those are...
Not even that. No, just learn the system. Learn what all nine numbers mean. And then not only will you, you easily figure out your number, because you'll learn, like... Oh yeah, this one calls me out. The rest of them are like, huh, oh, that's interesting. This one, like, hits a button. And then on top of that, then you'll also learn all the rest of the personalities, and you'll be able to use it as a tool to interact in life. Not like knowing your own number, but not the rest of the numbers, is kind of useless. I mean, it's not useless. Interesting.
Yeah.
But the point is relation, and it's and communication and relationship. So I can see, like, you have to pick your own number. So there's a little bit of, but it, you don't even pick it. Like, you feel it, you know it, but anyways.
Yeah.
Yes.
That also exposes a fundamental difference in the way that we think, which I think is interesting.
Ooh. Poke.
Yeah. Well, it's something we've talked about before, about whether knowledge comes from within or without, whether or not, you know, because like your what you've described there is very much a self-knowledge, a self-knowing.
Sure.
Whereas many people turn to the Enneagram as a way of being, of asking for help from other people to understand themselves, and so it actually is about having a conversation with an expert, or with someone who calls themselves an expert, whatever, or doing, you know, a well-regarded test and working those answers through with a professional to then get a sense of that, rather than...
Well, so, like, what that is coming from, not, you know, I'm relaying this from the gurus about it that I follow, you know, and there's, and, you know, not just one, it's a few, but it's like... that what you're describing, the tests, the coaches, that's all super new. That's what they refer to as Instagram Enneagram. Like it's the modern approach. It's like just making this little listicle of how the nine different numbers would react to a fall day. You know, it's like whatever.
Oh no. I was there for some of that. And like it's a lot more than that. But I get the bit. I get the joke.
But it's
a bit disingenuous. But yeah, okay.
But I get the bit. The Enneagram is all about intention. It's how it's how internally you would justify the action. And the most of the tests, except for, you know, some that actually get it, which are like, that's why they're recommended. But generally, they're not recommended because they ask you about actions. And different numbers can do the same action, but for very different reasons. And only you know the reason that you're doing it. And so only you can give yourself a number. And therefore, you should learn what the numbers are and the reasons why each of them do different things. That's,
yeah.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah. But I think there is... You know, we've talked about where that idea of knowledge comes from.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't feel like I know, like, I don't, within, like, I feel like knowledge is without and within. But only, you know, the knowledge from within is about within.
Whoa.
The knowledge from without is about without.
Sure.
Title?
Title?
I so derailed you, and I really wanted you to finish what you were saying.
So what where this little ember of an idea is coming from?
Yeah.
Or what it is our idea of ourself. So Mark's idea of Mark is as valid, but also as paper thin and as flexible as Brendan's idea of Mark. Because Brendan's idea of Mark is what Brendan has witnessed of Mark.
Yeah.
Mark's idea of Mark, and this is the difference, Mark's idea of Mark can be based on what Mark thinks Mark should be. And I obviously I mean everybody in this case. I'm just using me because I'm the main one. So it can be based on Mark's idea of Mark. Oh man, we've got to talk about Mountain Head because there's a whole thing there about like whether other people are real. It's a bunch of billionaires who are who basically cause and are then escaping the apocalypse. And there is a moment where they actually like are acknowledging they don't really think other people exist. Anyway. Homework for you. So Mark has an idea of what Mark is that can be based on some, if we go like Instagram, some fucking thing that he's read, or some chant that he's, or some thing that he's pinned up on his wall, and it's all intentions and it's all, you know, habits and five simple steps, and I'm gonna do, you know, I'm gonna do all these things, and I'm like, and you know, manifesting. I don't know. I'm not gonna poke that bear. So that's a sense of an idea of like, this is who I am because this is my truth, or this is who I am because these are the things that I do. These are where I actually poke out into the real world and have an effect on the real world. So that's how then my identity, that's how Brendan's view of Mark is shaped, is by what Mark does out in the world and what Brendan witnesses.
Yeah.
And that is interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I have anything more to say on it other than I think that's an interesting look, because that allows for the fact that people will have very different ideas of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that has to be okay, because someone like me can agonize over someone who doesn't like my bullshit, who isn't on board for me, the charmingest version of me.
Okay, this is really interesting.
Okay. Thank God for that.
I wonder, so it matters. This is a question. It matters to you what other people think of you.
Oh, sure. As it does to lots. Like, it matters to lots of people what I will use my I statements. Yes.
Yes, it definitely. I mean, yeah, and we've talked about before, like, it's a fear of banishment, right? Like, kind of like, mm-hmm. we know we need to be in the tribe or a community, and yeah, and in good standing, mm-hmm. or else we're dead. That's really interesting. I've been thinking about this quite a bit. I generally don't care what people think about me. For the most part, you know, obviously anybody I don't know, whatever. People within my larger circle, like, sure, I want to make a good impression, but like, I have no stress about it. I have no, like, there's no worrying or like, oh, I did a thing. I wonder how they took that. Doesn't even come to mind. And then, you know, the people in my close circle, like, they see me all the time. They know who I am. They love me.
How do they know who you are?
They trust.
I mean, that not I'm going how to they identify you, but yeah.
I'm wearing a mask.
You still have a mustache.
Yeah, I change my look all the time. Maybe they don't know who I am. they have experienced the content of my character.
Ooh.
And
via your actions.
Via my actions, my speech, my effort into the world, and I guess therefore expect that it's going to be similar. But
yeah,
also
sure.
Knowing
past data predicting, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, results. Yeah. But also knowing, like, I
what the fuck was dear. That? If that had happened in a pub in the UK, we would have all gone, way! Because that's what you're supposed to do.
I have no... Oh, wait, is this still gone?
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know what the... Oh, there it is. I see it now. It's nothing.
Okay.
It was just a loud distraction. The people around me see my actions and have an idea of who I am. And like, I'm not worried about disrupting that. And I feel like people have a good idea of who I am, both a good idea of who I am, and they think that that person is good. And yeah, I'm not worried about it changing, or if I did one thing that would cause a disruption. I guess I just feel safe with the people around me. Is that just what it is? Or I'm just trying to figure out, because I feel like I really don't worry about what other people think. And I thought that it was kind of maybe not nineness, but I had been thinking about that through the Enneagram lens at different points. And so it's interesting to me to talk to another nine about caring what other people think. That's why it came up as like, oh, this is interesting. So I want to ask you about that. How does that? Yeah.
Where my brain goes to is, how do you know?
I don't know anything.
And like, okay, I'll just ask the question. Like, how do you know when you've done something wrong?
Feels bad.
Okay. How does that affect the person that you've done something wrong to?
They feel bad. They tell me they feel bad.
Okay.
Or they don't tell me they feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that's on them. They have to communicate. We all have to communicate if we're holding something in.
That's not easy for everyone to communicate, but that's fine.
No, it can be scary. It can, yeah, it can lead to conflict.
I thought that would lead somewhere. Because I think that feeling of safety, that's what I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. So how does that affect your feeling of safety when you do something wrong and you feel bad?
Maybe this will shed a little light on it. In relationship, especially in my current relationship with Margaret, I've told her this a few times. Like, I'm all in, and I've been all in from very early on. We were just talking with a friend yesterday about, or the other day, about the beginning of our relationship, because they are just entering a relationship and they're asking about, oh, when did you feel this feeling? And like, how is this going for you? And I was asked when I knew I wanted to get married to Margaret. And I was like, well, it was when it was like two-ish months in to us dating, and we decided to close the open relationship that we were trying. I was still dating other people at the beginning because I hadn't been dating anybody for a long time, and I thought that I needed to get out there and see more people and not just enter another long-term relationship after coming out of one. And we tried that for a little bit, and then we closed the relationship to just the two of us. And I was like, well, yeah, I'm closing this relationship because I know that you're my person. I want to marry you. I want to spend my life with you. Like, this is perfect. And so I have an idea of who she is and our relationship and everything. And then I have complete trust that, for instance, she is not going to start slapping my face.
Sure.
And if we come to the, if down the road at some point she does start slapping me in the face, she is showing that she is not the person I thought she was, or she has changed into a new person that is not who I fell in love with. And like, okay, that's fine. That just changes our relationship. You know, that now things are different. And so until the point where she hypothetically changed into a person that is violent, up until that point, I've been having a great time. I'm just happy in the reality that I am living in, whether it is everybody's shared reality or not, whatever, it's my reality. And I'm happy in it. And then, oh, something changes. I'm going to react to that when it happens. You know, I could think about it. I can prepare for it or whatever. I'm not going to stress about it. I'm not going to worry and fret and create all these hypothetical scenarios and my reactions to them, I have experienced that before very little. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't feel good. That just makes the good reality I'm living in feel shitty because I'm thinking about a different reality that doesn't exist. Does that answer your question?
No.
Okay.
But we're going long. We can pick it up.
Yeah.
We can pick it up.
Pick it up. As always, we suffer not from failing to meet a false desire, but from possessing the false desire. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Go Hawks.
Can we go back to the ANC, active noise cancellation?
Oh, sure.
Just briefly.
Bonus.
Hate it.
Ah.
I have it on a pair of Sony headphones. I have it in Apple AirPods. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, so it's a combination of how it makes me feel and how I understand the technology to work. And the two of them together are creating a story that I hate. Okay. And so the way I understand how it works, and I learned this through audio engineering school, is like, it has microphones that pick up the sound from the outside world, and then it creates the, it adds to that a inverse polarity audio. Mm-hmm. It has little speakers, you know, obviously it has a speaker inside. It adds to the signal the opposite polarity. So when on the sine wave, the sine wave goes up, it adds the same sine wave going down. And because there's the two that are equal and opposite, they neutralize. And so you, hypothetically, don't hear anything. You hear less things. And it's imperfect. And so there's some sound still comes through. Or you know, there's so many different shapes and stuff. And so it's not 100% effective, but it really does very well at lowering the volume of things. But, that's how I understand the technology to work. And then how it makes me feel is ear fatigue. It is so tiresome.
Yeah, you're not alone in that. Yeah.
And like in my head, the story I'm creating is that instead of actually making things quieter, I am doubling the volume into my ears so that I perceive the volume to be lower, but actually it's louder. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm like, why am I walking away with ear fatigue if that's not the case?
Yeah. I've heard people talk about the fact that it makes them feel nauseous. I think when it's, because I think I might have tried the ANC on the Sonys, which were one of the worst headphones I've ever had. The in-ear ones, and there were a time when it worked quite well on the AirPods, and then I think over time there's just build up or whatever, and it doesn't work so well. What I found with the Bose is that because they're over ear, it's not as oppressive.
Sure. I have a pair of Sonys that are over ear that it is super oppressive.
And you've just found that. Yeah, oh, there you go. God. Yeah, I think.
Yeah. And they're regarded as like difference. Really good. And I'm just like, this sounds horrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, you know, some people are more prone to motion sickness with VR. Like, you know, it's just, one of those things, isn't it? It's, that's a shame. It worked for me, but I can, you know, the way you've described it is obviously entirely accurate. And yeah, it's like, that's an experience that's perfectly valid.
Thank you for validating my experience.
I also validate parking.
Do you? Mm. Is that effective, or is it just you write valid?
Yeah, you did really good parking.